Geography. Free space for geography. Extending teaching and learning methods beyond the boundaries of campus.
Did you hear about Frontline?
Frontline,
by the way, has an outstanding production.
Geography Frontline.
Hey, Frontliners, how's it going?
It's been a little longer till we now launch episode 126 of Geography Frontline, but here we are. And as I posted on our Facebook wall, I was trying to get a really cool professor for an interview for the show. Unfortunately, he's no longer in Germany. So all the equipment I bought and set up for that will have to wait a little longer before I can really use it. And I actually plan to get someone talking to us live in the show. Anyways, the equipment is set up, and then whenever somebody comes around, he or she is free to talk to me. That's great. So I'm working on getting you the first-hand information from great geographers, but till then, let's start with this week's episode, and the topic today is noise. Yeah. And we got some posts about noise, especially about noise, on our Facebook wall. So we start off taking a look at our social media platform, where every frontliner can post just anything that is of geographic interest. That's Frontline on Facebook. Yeah, last week I saw this post from Beate. She wrote, in episode 106, you talked about noise. Do you know if there is such a thing as the EU Environmental Noise Directive 2002 in the United States? Do cities in the US also make noise maps? Geographical greets from Hamburg, Beate. Yeah, thank you, Beate, for your post. I don't know if you've seen it, but I already responded by saying that's a really good question I would like to address in the next episode in 126, and here we are. Because I actually did some research on it while living in Austin, Texas. I'll prep something. And so here we are, and I did some research on it and put some links and infos together. And I can tell you, it's kind of an interesting subject. I cannot speak for the whole United States of A, but I can tell you one thing for sure. There is no such law or guideline that would make it mandatory to have a noise map of every city in the USA, as far as I know it. Are there such guidelines in Europe? Oh, yeah. The purpose of strategic noise mapping, and that's from the official EU website. The purpose of strategic noise mapping is primarily threefold. To provide the European Commission with strategic estimates of noise exposure across Europe, to assist in the future development of European noise policy, to provide information to the public and decision makers on noise exposure locally, nationally, and internationally, and finally, to develop action plans. So that's from the European Commission Working Group Assessment of Exposure to Noise, WGAEN. From 2006, if you want to take a look at that closely. So we have like three major explanations why the EU, at least the EU, is thinking it's considered a good idea to have noise exposure maps. First, to provide the EU, or the European Commission, to be more precise, with strategic estimates of noise exposure. Second, to provide information to the public and decision makers on noise exposure. And third, to develop action plans. And I said it in the beginning of the show, I spent the last 8 months in Austin, Texas, before I returned to my lovely home here in Wiesbaden, Germany, about 5 or 6 weeks ago. So, Austin is considered to be the live music capital of the world. So, if there was a national law to put up a noise exposure map for every city, Austin should be really the first city to have such a map, right? As the live music capital of the world. But they don't. Instead, they have a really vague definition of what noise is. And you can read this in the it's called the city code, Austin City Code, the noise ordinance of the city of Austin. And here, the definition sounds like this. Noise means sound which A, is louder than permitted in this chapter, or B, disturbs a reasonable person of normal sensibilities. What the hell is a reasonable person of normal sensibilities? Huh? Whoa. That's kind of awake, huh? But anyways, we're talking about the noise exposure map. So, I talked to a sound engineer at the city council. I had an official meeting there. And I talked to the guy who is responsible, who should know the most about noise and noise exposure maps and everything. And I asked him, do you have a noise exposure map? Or do you deal with noise issues in the city of Austin? And he says, we don't really deal with noise issues. They fall pretty much off the map. Oh, that's a nice quote for a geographer, huh? They fall off the map. Wow. And then Beata found something interesting. She says, San Francisco got a noise enforcement program and they made a noise map. And I have to say, this map looks amazing. Have a look at it. I copy-pasted the link to this map to the show notes. But a nationwide directive or law? No way. No way. That's kind of interesting, don't you think? Do we really need noise exposure maps? Answer A. Yes. They contain important information. Answer B, no, the qualitative element is missing. Or answer C, for all the people out there who have another opinion. So let me know what you think by taking part in this week's quick vote. And if you want to know more about our noise discussion, have a look at facebook.com/geography. For some more information, like guidelines for airports, we got some links there. Beata posted some more, and yeah. And contribute to the show. Just if you find something, just go to the Facebook wall and paste a link there. Do that. Or send me an email to comment@geography.com. And speaking of noise, this week's music is from Middle Distance Runner from the album The Sun and Earth, and it's called Joyful Noise.
When I was young, a cocoa nut fell on my head. As I grew up, I didn't know half of what I said. Joyless boy, I wouldn't even think for a week. A joyful noise,
Distance Runner, the album The Sun and Earth, the song Joyful Noise from the Podsafe Music Network. You find that on music.mevio.com. I'll post the links to both the US version and the German version of the album in the iTunes store in this week's show notes.
What's that sound?
In episode 123, we started a new competition to win a free Frontline t-shirt. For every right suggestion about the sound riddle, you get a point. And the first Frontliner who gets 5 points, who wins a t-shirt. Yeah. And last episode, we had this sound. Geographer had the following suggestion. It's a machine. Doing a short whatsoever and then move the thing onwards. That's a little vague. But as I said last show, if nobody comes up with a better solution, then Geographer wins the point for this sound riddle. And you know what? Nobody did have a clue. So, 1 point goes to Geographer. That puts him in lead over Judith with 2-1. Try to catch up, frontliners, or the t-shirt competition will soon be over. And here comes the sound riddle for episode 126. Any idea? It's a very short one, but here it comes again. So, if you think you might know what causes such a sound, send me an email to comment@geography.com or speak your suggestion to the Frontline voicemail on Skype. Skype name is Geography. And last episode, we had a quick vote too. It was about the relation between society and the economy today. I was talking about the idea of if society could really change or have an impact on the economy today. Votes came in very slowly, so I wouldn't call this a final result, but it's more like a trend, right? Society really change the economy today? Of course it can, because. Answer B, I am not sure, because. Or answer C, no way, it can't, because. And answer D, another opinion. And you know what? 100% voted for answer A so far. So can society really change the economy today? Of course it can. But you didn't answer the because, so why would you think that it could? You should really go ahead and try to vote again and give me your opinion why you would think that society could change or couldn't change the economy today. Or if you would have another opinion, just let me know. Type that into the comment section of the quick vote. That's really simple, and then we can discuss it in the next episode of Frontline. So I'd say we just leave that open. We got another quick vote on noise. That's also very interesting, and I'm curious to get your results there. But I also want to know if society can change the economy today. It's time again for a journey back in time to 1799 across the ocean to South America, where Alexander von Humboldt is trying to get some new information and discover new things on his voyage to the Americas and his personal narrative of travels to the equinoctial regions of America, to be precise. And we stopped last episode at the island of Cumana, where he had landed, and they found a pilot, an Indian pilot, who was kind of their guide now on the ship of the ship was called the Pizarro, right? And they are traveling around, and then he shows them around, and then shows them places only the natives know, and so on. And so we just continue here when they are on their way, exploring the countryside with their Indian guide. The Indian pilot led us across his garden, which rather resembled a copse than a piece of cultivated ground.
He showed us, as a proof of the fertility of this climate, a silk cotton tree, Bombax heptaphyllum, the trunk of which in its fourth year has reached nearly 2.5 feet in diameter. We have observed on the banks of the Orinoco and the River Magdalena that... Whoa, that's an eBay reminder. Sorry, guys. We have observed on the banks of the Orinoco and the River Magdalena that the Bombax, the Carolinea, the Ochroma, and other trees of the family of the Malvaceae are of extremely rapid growth. I nevertheless think that there was some exaggeration in the report of the Indian respecting the age of this Bombax, for under the temperate zone, in the hot and damp lands of North America, between the Mississippi and the Allegheny Mountains, the trees do not exceed a foot in diameter in 10 years. Wow. Isn't it amazing what kind of knowledge Humboldt has about plants and trees? He knows about everything, right? Draws a simple analogy to the climate at the Mississippi. Not too shabby, huh? Wow, I'm impressed. He goes on, we were conducted by the captain of the Pizarro to the governor of the province, Don Vicente Emparan, to present him the passports furnished to us by the first secretary of state at Madrid. He received us with that frankness and unaffected dignity which have at all times characterized the natives of Biscay. Before he was appointed governor of Portobello and Cumana, Don Vicente Emparan had distinguished himself captain of a vessel in the navy. His name recalls to mind one of the most extraordinary and distressing events recorded in the history of maritime warfare. At the time of the last rupture between Spain and England, two brothers of Señor Emparan, both of whom commanded ships in the Spanish navy, engaged with each other before the port of Cadiz, each supposing that he was attacking an enemy. A fierce battle was kept up during a whole night, and both the vessels were sunk almost simultaneously. Wow, a very small part of the crew was saved. And the two brothers had the misfortune to recognize each other a little before they expired. Wow. And Humboldt doesn't stop at trees, right? He also knows about people, about politics and warfare. Do you think he already knew about the Emparan brothers before having met the governor of Portobello and Cumana? Maybe he prepared himself for the meeting this way, or he learned about the battle described in the passage from the governor firsthand. That could be kind of a narrative interview. What do you think, frontliners? I think it's always amazing listening to Humboldt's words, what he has to say, and the richness he's describing everything around him. That's really fascinating and should really inspire ourselves to go out and keep a diary when we are on excursions, on field trips, on travels to foreign countries, and try to look and to listen and to sense really, really closely to the environment all around us, to get a really good idea what's going on, and to become better geographers, right?
It's a four-letter word. I prepare you for that. Jobs, jobs, and jobs.
We get a new job proposal from Magdalena. This week, it's especially for German-speaking frontliners. So, German-speaking frontliners, listen up. Hello, frontliners. This is Magdalena. Are you interested in biodiversity research? Good. And are you experienced in fundraising and marketing? Even better. You should apply at the Senckenberg Institute in Frankfurt. The institute is looking for a person who'd work as an intern for at least 3 months. You'll find more information at www.senckenberg.de/file/content/. Okay, I just post the whole link to the show notes, and just go to geography.com and to the current episode of Frontline to check it out, or take a look at our Facebook wall. There I'll post the show notes as well. So you can just with one click open that PDF document and find out more about the new internship at the Senckenberg Institute in Frankfurt. So Magdalena, she ends her comments saying good luck and talk to you soon, Magdalena. There is an international conference coming up. Oh, yeah, and it's called Soundtracks, Music, Tourism and Travel. It's not only or not about noise, but sound, close enough. Hmm? Soundtracks, this international conference taking place July 6th to 9th, 2012 in Liverpool in the United Kingdom. The call of papers says, in this international research conference and in the city of Liverpool, famed for its popular music, we seek to explore the relationships between tourism, tourists, and all forms, genres, and subgenres of music, including popular, classical, folk, dance, rock, jazz, and hip-hop, across all cultures and continents. In the context of new and old global mobilities, we are interested in musical pilgrimage, the material of social flows of travelers and musicians, the cultural and economic policies that promote music tourism, festivals and performances for tourists, ethnographies of representation of tourism destinations, and the role of music in the construction of tourist discourses, narratives, and memories. As in previous events, the conference aims to provide critical dialogue beyond disciplinary boundaries and epistemologies, and thus we welcome papers from the widest range of disciplines and fields, including anthropology, cultural geography, cultural studies, ethnology and folklore, history, heritage studies, landscape studies, leisure studies, museum studies, musicology, and so on. So the list goes on and on. If you should be interested in sound and especially music, book your flight to Liverpool. That would be all. Episode 126 of Geography Frontline has come to an end. We talked about noise. We'll talk more about the society's impact on the economy. If you want to, just let me know. Send me your comments and suggestions to comment@geography.com. Call the Skype voicemail. Skype name is Geography, or just post on our Facebook wall. But anyways, have a great week, everybody. And never forget, the network is us.